to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show.
My pleasure now to welcome to the show Vancouver, BC country artist Dave Hardney. He has a great debut single out now at Country Radio called Party Lights. It's a great, fun, up-tempo song. We're going to hear it on the show and talk about lots of things with my guest, Dave Hardney. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thanks so much for having me, Steve. I really appreciate you taking the time and being patient with me here.
Yeah, absolutely. We had some technical difficulties before we started taping. As you drove around, basically, this is real life here. This is technology trying to get a cell signal on the prairie roads.
Yeah, exactly. I guess you should let the listeners know it was just finished up our last sort of station radio station visit for the day in Moose Jaw, and we're driving to Regina, and I am coming to you live from the side of the highway between Moose Jaw and Regina here.
I love that. We got you on the side of the road after a very busy day. And, I've been seeing all over social media that you are doing tons and tons of interviews. You're really, promoting awareness of this single being out there.
Yeah, I've been really lucky. I got in contact with Strut Entertainment. They've been really great in terms of setting up, just interviews. And I'm working with a guy named Rob Chuby, who's doing the radio tracking stuff side of it. And he's just got me in to see so many different people at radio. And it's fun. I'm just really enjoying meeting, people that I might have seen at the CCMAs or people that I've seen on Facebook or, the people that I know are in the music industry and now kind of getting to put a, meet mm-hmm. people in person, put a name. Put a face to names and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun for me.
For sure. And, meeting the folks at radio is such an important thing because you got to have a great song, but I really feel it's that connection that the artist makes when they're on radio tours, meeting with the announcers and program directors, music directors and all that really makes a big difference.
I think so too. I think, people are... today's world, people are invested in knowing people and they want a personal contact, whether it's your fans or people at radio. They want to see who's this person singing, who's the person that is behind the song, and do we want to get behind them? So I'm doing my best just to go out there and meet as many people as I can.
So before we talk about your debut single, Party Lights, let's go back a bit in time, David, to when you first started loving music. Can you think back to when you kind of made that decision that music was going to be a big part of your life?
I don't know if I have a moment. I have various moments along the way. I always just love music. My mom, it's funny, just before I left, she was telling me that I used to kick in her tummy along to the beat of songs when she was listening. And I've got pictures of, my dad when I was really young. He'd have the old headphones with the curly wire, putting it on me as a baby and listening to music. And just growing up, I would see things. I was just inspired anytime it was something musical or especially guitar playing. I saw that movie Back to the Future when I was 10 or 11, and, Marty McFly, the character, is playing at the dance and rocking out, and that was kind of one of the inspirations for me to play guitar and kind
oh,
of
wow.
went on with that. Yeah, that was kind of the reason I picked up the guitar. My dad was great, bought me my first guitar, took some lessons, and then I was telling the author that we would go to this country bar outside of Vancouver called Roosters, and Aaron Pichette was there just doing covers and just kind of getting started in music as well, and he was actually the DJ there, and we'd watch him play and he would just put on these, a cover gig as if it was his own concert. And people were just so into him. And, it was never a surprise to me that he did so well because he was so entertaining in the bars. And so that was an inspiration to sort of start a band. And then, my buddy and I, we just kind of did it and, went out and wrote some songs and put out an album. And then, And then now I'm out as a solo artist.
Very cool. And you mentioned Aaron Prochet being an early influence, and you got to see him kind of in those early days. Another one I know, another artist that you got to see before he hit it big was Dierks Bentley. Tell me that story, because ultimately you ended up opening a show for him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't even until I was sort of putting the bio together, I didn't really put it together sort of like it was sort of a full circle kind of thing. But Dierks Bentley came through. I just got into Saskatoon. I went to school, university at the U of S in Saskatoon. And so I moved from BC to Saskatoon. And pretty soon after I went, some friends of mine were like, oh, yeah, there's this guy, Dierks Bentley, coming to town. And he'd had, what was I thinking? I think it was his first big hit, written by Derek Rutan, of course, Canadian. And, and so we got some tickets and went down to the show. And small little campus bar. I mean, it must have been, you know, maybe max 200, 250 people. And it was a great show. And I took pictures. I saw pictures of the show on my computer somewhere. And a couple, you know, like within 2 years, he was playing the hockey arena in Saskatoon, the WHL rink there, and Softball Place or Softball Center. And then a couple years after that, after we the band got going, we got to open for him and Vince Gill on the same night. At the Merritt Mountain Music Festival in Merritt, BC.
Wow.
And I got to meet him backstage and chat with him and have actually some drinks. And he was just super cool, super nice to me. So it was kind of cool to see him playing in such a small venue, just doing it like a club show, and then to watch him put on, you know, a big festival show. And actually, we played a festival called Sunfest last summer. And he was playing on the next night, but I stuck around, so I got to see him again, put on just a massive festival show, and it's just, you know, it's just cool to see it.
Probably pretty inspiring to see him and Aaron in their early days, and then see the success they have. You can kind of know that it's possible, and maybe you can learn something from each of them, those two specifically, on how you get further.
Yeah, I think, you know, watching both of them, they're actually really good comparables, because, you know, I still think that Aaron Prochet has maybe one of the best live shows of any of the Canadian artists. He's just so entertaining. And if you watch Dierks, I mean, I remember seeing a show where he's just kind of standing there with the guitar, and last, you know, at Louis at the campus bar years and years ago, and then to see him last summer running on stage with, you know, with all the hits that he has, and just being so energetic, putting on such a big show, moving around. And yet both of them, just the nicest guys, you know, and doesn't matter sort of who you are, if you're sort of just, you know, some young no-name artist, or if you're, you know, just the people I see working behind the scenes, you know, they're the drivers or whatever. You just see them treating everybody really, really good. So that's definitely something that I take away from watching those guys.
I'm speaking with Vancouver, BC country artist Dave Hardney. You can head to davehardney.com to check him out, and his social media sites, of course, and head to iTunes to get his single Party Lights. And, of course, it never hurts to call your local country station and say you want to hear that song. How long, Dave, did it
Absolutely.
Take you to get comfortable on stage? Now, maybe right away, or, you know, did it take a few times to get where you totally felt like this is your comfort zone?
Yeah, no, it's a process. I mean, I you know, I knew I had a passion for it. I knew I wanted to do it. But, you know, the first couple of times you get some small little shows, the neighborhood pub, and, you know, it takes, you need a couple shots to get on stage to get that liquid courage. And, it, you know, I didn't grow up, you know, acting or performing. And so it wasn't, for some people, they grew up extroverted, and I didn't really grow up that way. I just knew that I wanted to play music, and so for me it was a process. I quickly got over that, you know, needing any of that liquid courage and you know, it being nervous about it, to the point where now it's something I look forward to. I mean, I don't need anything on stage. I'm just you know, I can't wait till it's time to play, especially at you know, the big events when we get to do them.
And at this point in your career, Dave, in your shows, you're obviously doing your own songs, but are you still including some covers that we would know?
Yeah, I still have, you know, I still do covers. There's still gigs that I do that call for it. And, you know, I actually, I try to do different Canadian covers. Like, I will do stuff like Canadian Girls by Dean Brody. I do Dirt Road Anthem by Aaron Burchett. I actually try to Even the James Barker Band, your listeners probably would know them, and Launch Here, Lazy, Beer, Beer, Beer. I try and, you know, everyone's heard Fish in the Dark. Everyone's heard those songs a million times, and, you know, we know them if people want to hear that. But, yeah, I try to, I actually really enjoy the Canadian country music scene and the people who are in it, and I try and sort of, you know, do my own little tribute, little take on some of the songs that I like.
That's awesome. Yeah, Canadian country music is really hot right now. I mean, it's been that way for quite a while, but it continues to be. And you mentioned the James Barker Band. I saw them in Toronto at Canadian Music Week at a place called Boots and Bourbon, and they were, I guess it was also their CD release party. And, yeah, they did that song, of course, Lawn Chair Lazy, which is such a great summertime song.
Yeah, it's, you know, I heard that song, and that, you know, that's such a simple line, beer, 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 but it was stuck in my head right away, and I'm not surprised at how the success that they did. I've actually never got to see them play, other than, you know, YouTube and stuff. I never got to see them show or meet them, but maybe this year at the CCMAs.
Awesome. I want to come back and talk about songwriting and more about your music, but let's turn to the debut single, Party Lights. I know this was written by Adam Hambrick, Andrew DeRoberts, and Jeremy Stover, produced by Jeff Johnson, of course, a great Canadian producer. Tell me about first time this song was pitched to you and when you first heard it and what you liked about it.
Yeah, I started going to, I mean, I'm a songwriter, do lots of writes with different artists, and I've had songs pitched to me by different people, but I wanted to take advantage of something that they do at the Canadian Country Music Awards Week, which is that various publishers, including Ole, I'm sure that you know them, they come and pitch songs to artists. And I met a really wonderful girl named Emily from Ole, and she sat down with me, and she kind of, you know, looked at my website and got to know me a little bit, and then she pitched me some songs. She pitched me a bunch of really great songs, and some of the thinking is that, you know, all the big artists are going to pick over all anything good, and maybe younger artists like myself, you know, might not get sort of the cream of the crop. But I heard this song, loved it right away, and I really thought it was something that I would want to release, and something that felt like, you know, me, and something I wanted to have in my set list when I'm playing live shows. And there was a couple lines in it that I actually really had an idea for something I thought I could improve on the song. So there's a couple lines in the song that I actually did write, and I got permission from Jeremy and Adam and Andrew, and they gave me permission to rewrite a couple of the lines. So I didn't take a writing credit, but I did have a hand in the finished product, and some of the big lines in the chorus I wrote. So I did have a small hand in it, and those three guys are all pretty successful writers down there, and have written for, you know, Miranda Lambert and all sorts of people, Justin Warren. Yeah, they're really accomplished writers, so, you know, you get something from them, and you definitely want to have a listen to it. So I like the song. It was just something I felt really comfortable with, and we've been playing it all week on the radio tour, and I'm so really glad I picked it.
That is so cool. Yeah, you're getting a lot of the exposure with this song, and you're getting it out there, and people are loving this song called Party Lights. But that was an interesting point you made about, because it's something we might think that the big artists would take these great songs, but there are still enough great songs out there that, you know, you can find one yourself, but it's not going to go to Dierks Bentley.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are writing, you know, they're doing two writes a day, the professional writers down in Nashville that have publishing deals, they're doing two writes a day, and, you know, almost every day of the week, and there's just a lot of great songs, and these guys know what they're doing, and, you know, people, artists just pick stuff that they like, and a lot of artists want to be involved, and some artists only want to cut stuff that they've been in the room or had a hand in, and
sure.
So there's definitely lots of songs out there that are floating around, great songs. Every time I get pitched songs, it's funny because you're like, well, it's not fair, kind of, that the music fan of me is thinking, like, this song should be out there, you know? You're like, the listeners should be able to hear this. And sometimes these great songs you hear all the time from artists that they have this great song and they wrote it 3-4 years ago, and it's just sitting in a drawer somewhere or on a, you know, on a recorder somewhere on their laptop, and it's just been sitting there for years collecting digital dust until you know, us music fans are lucky enough to hear it.
Yeah, it's crazy, the as you say, the amount of songs out there that just haven't been recorded yet that are just waiting to be, which is awesome. Let's turn to that song now from my guest, Dave Hartney. This is Party Lights on In the Country.
cold water in the face and lit up just like a lampshade. Hey, I know this, if I got a switch,
you flipped it.
Yeah, you shine like the party lights, cool as the ice damn cup in your hand. Saucer and disc, got my temperature rising. Boots up cause you wanna dance. Sitting here, stone cold sober, still you got me falling over. Looking perfect in that string glow blow tonight.
And that is Vancouver's own Dave Hardney and his song Party Lights. In fact, his debut single, you can get it at iTunes. And be sure to check him out at DaveHardney.com and his social media sites. Songwriting. So the songs that you write, Dave, let's maybe first start. Take us back to when you first started writing your own songs.
Yeah, so I told you before, I went to a university in Saskatoon, and I lived in residence, I lived in a little dorm room, on campus at the U of S. And I laugh because I think back, I would always write some of my, what I consider my better songs. Right when I would have an exam or something, or have something else going on, some kind of deadline, or have to write a paper, and I would procrastinate and pick up the guitar and start, writing a song. And if I had nothing going on, usually the song didn't seem to be quite as good as if it was something where I was really supposed to be doing something else, but I was taking time away to songwrite. Would have something creative sort of come out of it. So that's kind of where it started, and just sort of writing by myself. And then, it's really common in country music to collaborate, and that's something I love doing now, is just sort of doing co-writes with people and writes with people, whether they're in town or, the age we live in, you can write with people down in Nashville or Texas over Skype and face-to-face time and stuff like that, which is really, really cool and handy.
Absolutely, yeah. And country music, that whole co-writing experience is such a big thing, and you're getting the power of two or three coming together with ideas that alone you wouldn't get. For an artist out there who's starting out, a singer-songwriter, any tips on heading into a co-writing session, Dave? What should you prepare? What should you have with you, as opposed to just kind of going in and hoping things work out?
Yeah, especially, when people are sort of the quote-unquote junior writers, if you're writing with someone who's a little bit more experienced, typically that, the junior writer should come in with an idea, and, if they have a hook, sort of like a main line of the song, but even just an idea, just something to talk about. A lot of the really experienced writers, they'll actually usually just ask you kind of what you've been doing, what you're thinking, what's going on in your life, your relationships, and they try and kind of pull something out of you. But you know, some, everyone's different. And if you can come in with a couple lines written or really just the idea, and then if you can sort of talk, hash out that idea and where you want to take the song, the songs that have the sort of the strongest ideas usually kind of write themselves. You have this great idea or for a twist or a, you know, a take on something. And, mm-hmm. you know, once you have that, the song can usually kind of write itself pretty quickly or get the chorus done or whatever and go from there.
Right. We heard Party Lights earlier on the show. Now, are we in store, Dave, for a full album or an EP from you sometime in the near future?
I definitely want to get an EP out there. I think my plan is to put out probably another single. We'll come out before an EP. And I have five or six, even more, maybe five or seven songs that I've got recorded. But I just had such a great experience doing the single with Jeff Johnson, and some of them that he's heard, we really have some ideas to go back and change. So a couple of the songs I still, in terms of the writing and the message, are still things that I really feel strongly about, even though I recorded a batch of songs about 2 years ago. But I might go back in the studio and touch some of them up. And of course, in that 2 years, I've written some songs and have been pitched a few more songs that I feel are really strong. And so it's kind of just sitting down and kind of deciding what direction I want to go for myself. But I think it's going to be another single next.
Now, in the catalog of songs that you've written, Dave, have you ever, as you're writing them or afterwards, thought to yourself, man, I could record this song, it's really cool, but this would be a great song to pitch to maybe Aaron Pritchett or Dierks Bentley or whoever the artist is. Do you have songs that you might pitch one day?
Yeah, there's a buddy that I started my band with, Dave Boris. He's gets in a lot of writes, and he's great at pushing me. I'm busy, like he said, and he's great at hammering me down and get, you know, for a date and getting me into the get into a writing session. And yeah, that's the fun thing about writing. And you know, in some genres, it's, you know, you're sort of expected to write everything yourself, whereas the country community, it's just that. It's sort of a community where you're just trying to write the best song that you can that day and just sort of be true to whatever the idea that you had. And then, you know, you listen to it back and you might think, I really like this song, but it's just not something that I want to go around singing to people. I don't want to spend the time and energy and money into, you know, mm-hmm. to recording it right now. But, you know, this would be perfect for someone else. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of songs that say a female artist comes out with might have been written by females or vice versa, you know.
Sure.
You know, the ladies are writing some great songs, and it what it allows you to do if you're willing to record in other people's songs is, you know, get some really cool ideas, and you might have, like I said, a just different gender take on a song, and if you're open to recording it, sometimes you know, you just come up with really interesting takes on different mm-hmm. stories and things in life.
Absolutely, and it would allow you as a writer to write something outside of something you would typically sing and sort of get creative. Maybe you're going to write a real redneck song that might not be the kind you would sing, but you can write a great one for someone else.
Yeah, exactly. You want to be true to you know, you have to be true to yourself as an artist. You know, you're where your sort of lane is vocally and musically, sonically. And exactly, that's a great example that you might get in a room and be really feeling something that's really redneck, but really twangy and swampy or something that's really just really cool. And so you can explore that. You can write that song and then not feel pressure that, well, I have to, right. You know, I wrote this. I have to release it. No, you can, you know, pitch it to your buddy who's maybe has that image, that look. And if you're, you know, higher up in the, put it through a publisher, they can find someone who it's perfect for. Yeah. So that's actually something I really like about this, sort of the country music industry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Before we wrap up here, Dave, I know that you've got a big summer in store of touring, a couple of festivals in particular, Sunfest, and then Gone Country 2017. You're opening for Tim Hicks. How much do you enjoy the big summer festivals?
You know, it's actually one of the reasons that I really have pursued music. For me, you know, artists have different sort of, I think, goals and different reasons why they get up in the morning and kind of pursue this as a career and a passion. And for me, it's playing the big live shows. Like, you know, my dream would be, you know, to open up for something huge or to demo show at, you know, big arena, at big festivals. So, you know, the last years to have been invited to some of these big events as an opening artist has just been so much fun. And last year we got to do Sunfest. Like I said, we opened up for Dallas Smith, which was amazing. And I hung around the rest of the weekend and watched Dierks and Carey. I just kind of really took in the whole festival. We were invited back to Sunfest again, which is, you know, a great compliment for us. You know, a lot of festivals will switch our backs in back-to-back years, and I wasn't expecting to get booked back, but they wanted to have us back, and they treat us really, really well over there. And Sunfest is one of BC's big music, country music festivals. It's sort of, you know, our boots and hearts are our big valley or our Craven. It's one of our big ones,
mm-hmm.
and so really great to be part of that. And then Gone Country that you mentioned, love being associated with that event. I've played that one a few times before, and it's a big cancer fundraiser that a couple buddies put on, the twins. I didn't know them when I started, but I've become really good friends with them, and they're just two guys with really, really good hearts, Chris and Jamie Ruchinski. They lost their mother to cancer and started doing these events to raise money, and they're really smart guys. They love music, mm-hmm. and country music, and they've raised over $1 million for cancer, various cancer fighting causes in four events. So they've done them four times, and they've raised over $250,000 each time. Last year, I think it was like $344,000 in a one day festival. You know, I mean, as you know, in the music industry, a lot of people are losing money on trying to start a festival, and these guys hit it out of the park because it's just such a fun event. And it's sometimes easy to forget that the proceeds and the cause of it is going to something really worthwhile, because it's just a fun event. And Tim Hicks is headlining that. JoJo Mason is going to be there, and we're on the bill, and I'm really proud to be part of that one.
That's awesome, and that is Gone Country 2017. Dave, I want to thank you so much for being here. Really enjoyed chatting with you and playing the song Party Lights for all our listeners, and I wish you all the best with it, and look forward to chatting with you down the road.
Dave, I really appreciate your time and you having me on here and spinning the song. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure. Once again, my guest has been Vancouver, BC country artist Dave Hardney. Be sure to call your local country station and say you want to hear Party Lights on their station. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.